What's up, nerds? Furious to be here.
Hey, from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
I got a rest from that. I put so much energy into that intro. I think I'm spent.
Yeah, I came in hot. Same. I really should have stretched.
Woo!
Oh my god. I mean, I'm sitting down now, but I feel like I need to sit down. I need to lay down.
I need to lie down, whichever it is. I don't know what the proper English is.
But it's lay know, down.
Is it lay down or lie down?
It's lay lady lay, not lie lady lie.
Oh, well.
Is it?
I mean, you broke up the Bob Dylan. Wow. Yes, okay.
Yes, I get all my phonetics teachings from Bob Dylan songs. So.
Hi, Rob Kelly.
Hey. Oh, nice. Shout out to him.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, well, why don't we, like, rest for a little bit? We'll reconvene here in, like, 5 minutes. I'll just pause the recording. We'll come back. We'll be energized once again. But we can't come in too hot this time. Okay?
All right. Okay? All right. Yes.
Okay. All right. And break. Whew, okay. I'm better now. Yeah, that's good. Good teamwork there. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, now I feel much better now.
Yeah, me too.
What day is it?
I think we're still nominally recording this on Monday, but I just woke up from a nap, so who can tell? It's dark out. It was gray and rainy today. Time has no meaning.
Yes. To quote Yggdrasil, the tree, time is an illusion.
I see what you did there. That's what we call foreshadowing.
In the podcastosphere.
I have a feeling that we're going to have the same opinion later on something.
Yeah. If we don't, I'll be shocked.
I would be shocked. We will retire this podcast immediately.
It'll be Barb and Star all over again.
So, okay. If you're wondering what these cryptic references are about and you didn't read the title of this podcast before you started listening, well, first of all, welcome. Secondly, we're the SNL Nerds. We're covering this week's SNL episode with host Amy Poehler. Hey, I've heard of her. The musical guest role model, and this is season 51, episode 2 from October 11th, 2025.
Ooh, yes. So. And, I mean, as Amy points out in the monologue, this is coming out on the official 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. The very first episode aired 50 years ago on October 11th, 1975.
That's neat, right? That they have an actual new show on the actual 50th anniversary. That's neat how that worked out.
That is pretty neat. I thought they would at the very least mention it. I didn't know if they would like go all out, like would they maybe recreate the Wolverine sketch or something like that. But like,
I didn't. I was expecting a mention, and that was it. And I think they did it just right because we had the big hoopla earlier this year, you know, like most of the stuff dropped in February. Honestly, it's been happening since like fall of 2024. We had the Saturday Night Movie, we had the Lorne Michaels biography, we had the primetime special, we had those four behind the scenes specials. Ooh. I mean, it was a to do.
We
could do to keep up with that all.
Yeah, that's true. They pretty much gave the show its flowers, as the kids say.
Yes.
So to play it like, you know, a little bit more low key on the actual 50th birthday, I think it's fine. It's like your actual when you turn your 50, you don't do a big crazy party and go nuts in the village. You have like, you know, a sensible dinner at an early afternoon or late afternoon, and then be in bed by 9.
That is pretty much exactly what I did for my 50th, except for the in bed by 9 part. Yeah, I had a nice dinner at Just Jake's in Montclair.
Ooh.
In Jersey.
I was there. Shit.
You and the wife came out to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Hot damn. Yeah. Sure did.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
Yeah. She was like, I'll come out with you, even though... No way, actually. No way. I think she wasn't there.
Now she that I think might not... I don't, my
I'd wife, have to go look at the pictures, honestly.
Yeah, she's very elusive. It's hard. She's like Maris on a Frasier.
Yeah. And also, I don't think she cares for me, so...
Well, that's...
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother thing, but...
That's, Hey, let's talk about Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler.
Cold open. We got, they were doing the Pam Bondi hearing for this week, which I didn't watch. I barely read about.
I try not to, just because I know it's just going to upset me and bother me. It's like I'm trying to get through these next 4 years. Like I'm still
in that fall mode of, oh, SNL's back. I got to like pay a little more attention to the news now, so I have context for this stuff. And yeah, okay.
Yeah, like I mean, I got the beats of what actually happened, and it's not too far off what's happening here. So basically it's a Pam Bondi Senate Judiciary Committee hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the, you know, the people of the Senate trying to question her about certain things. Yeah. And of course, you know, in real life, Pam Bondi was very defensive and insulting to everybody. So
bobs and weaves and doesn't answer questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
DOJ is moving like Cash Patel's eyeballs very quickly in different directions.
Yeah. Yeah. And she says to, and it's Amy as Pam Bondi. And she says to, Mikey Day as, Blumenthal, she says, before I don't answer, I'd like to insult you personally. We got this Mukes playing like a strong Southern character. He's playing Senator Kennedy.
Yeah, it's really pumping up that Foghorn Leghorn voice.
Yep.
I'll say, boy.
I believe our friend Dennis Perkins from Late Nighter said he was bringing a lot of Maine Justice energy to it. And I was like,
That is perfect. Yes, Maine. Oh wow, Maine Justice. That, what a sketch. Holy Toledo. Yeah.
And we got our first, but not our last cameo of the night. We got Tina Fey coming on as Christy Noem, who says she's the rarest of creatures, a brunette that Donald Trump listens to.
Yes.
Very cute.
Yeah, it took me a minute to really discern if that was... I kind of knew that was Tina, but for a minute, it's like...
It throws you when she's not wearing the glasses, right?
Yeah, and also like the way she's done up, she almost kind of looks like a Kardashian. Like, I swear her lips look plumper or...
I think they did... Yeah, there was like a fake lip thing of some sort going on.
It took me a minute, but I was like, oh.
The voice sounded kind of Sarah Palin-ish, though, so that was kind of how I tagged it as Tina.
Little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, with Christy Noem, there's like a lot of jokes about, of course, when she shot her dog, which is, I still can't believe that's out there and people are cool with it.
If you shoot a dog, you should never ever live that down for the rest of your life. Yeah.
You shouldn't in a reasonable world. You shouldn't, but of course she says, "Hey, dogs don't get shot; heroes shoot them."
Yeah.
So
I don't know. What did you think of this opening? I thought it was all right. I wasn't wild about it, but yeah, it's okay.
I thought it was okay. Some of the jokes were. Honestly, kind of weak. Like that Cash Patel joke I just said. It was like, It wasn't that strong, but I mean, I feel like because it was Amy Poehler and Tina Fey in it, they definitely helped elevate it a little.
Yeah, I mean, they always know how to sell material. So
yeah, so even like even though the jokes weren't that great, and even though they weren't taking as harsh a digs at the, you know, this current administration,
it still gives you the warm fuzzies to see them.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll give it a passing grade, but only because Faye and Paul were able to sell it or elevate it as, you know, as they do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what I say.
All right.
Monologue.
Amy Poehler comes out. She starts like speaking to the audience in monologue fashion, as the hosts do. She says, she talks about how she found her first love at SNL, being famous.
Ha-ha! Yeah.
Plugs her podcast, Good Hang.
Doing really well from what I hear.
Yeah, that's an enjoyable podcast. I haven't listened to, like, every single episode, but I enjoy, like, bopping in every once in a while on the YouTubes.
No, there's some good ones. The Catherine Hahn one I really liked. The Aubrey Plaza one I really dug.
I listened to the Aubrey Plaza one. That was great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. And then she talks about how 50 years ago today, you know, as the episode aired, the first episode of SNL aired, and you know, women couldn't even have credit cards yet, which is, that is true. I don't think they got the right to have credit cards until like 77 or something.
God damn.
That is
what?
Wild.
Like, I was born and my mom could finally get a credit card? Is that what you... God.
Yeah,
wow.
I was born, my mom couldn't get a credit card yet. And,
that wow. is... That is mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Amy Poehler's thinking about how, you know, back in the day, she was, you know, watching people on SNL thinking she wants to be an actress someday, you know, until, of course, they invent an AI actress who's funnier and willing to do full frontal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you...
Hmm. Yeah, because that Tilly Norwood? Is that the thing's last name?
Sure. I think
yeah,
so.
It's
yeah.
Tilly. It's an N name something. Yeah.
Easy. Yeah, so, but yeah, so then...
Oh, no, 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 no. It's a last name that starts with the letter N.
I know, I'm just...
I didn't say N words, sir.
I'm just trying
That's
to...
That's for off air.
I'm... Wow! Whoa!
That's for off air.
Holy Toledo. I didn't know you were working on this ain't the Anthony Cumia podcast. That's an East Coast joke there, folks.
That is. I actually met him at a Christmas party once.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we had a mutual friend, and yeah, I was like sitting on a couch, and I found myself next to Anthony Cumia. And this was like when the show was still happening, I think.
Yeah, oh, the opening so. Anthony when it was still...
The opening Anthony show, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
So
far out. You know, all right.
He was mildly pleasant and tolerant to me for a couple minutes.
Okay. So. All right. He didn't like goose step away or from you or anything like that. Or
no. This was before all that stuff happened. So
all that jazz.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
So yeah, Google Anthony Cumia if you're curious. Cumia. It's quite a read.
Oh boy.
But I was quite a fan of that radio show back in the day.
Yeah, it definitely like
1998, 99 or so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it cuz it had like a lot of comedians I liked on it. Like I'm a huge mm-hmm. Greg Giraldo fan and, you know,
sure.
Patrice of course and you mm-hmm. know Bill Burr was on it and
yeah.
all the like it introduced me to a lot of like cool comics, but mm-hmm. yeah, I guess
Jim Norton.
Norton yeah. of course. But yeah, I guess it just ran its course and
yeah. Ran its course. The two hosts grew to hate each other.
Yes, that's
it's
too.
A whole thing. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, yes. By ran its course, I mean total implosion.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then it became like the Opie and Jim Norton show on Sirius XM, but the two of them never had as much chemistry. And yeah,
it's
give it a Google. It's a
oh wow, what a seems like a lifetime ago.
It really does.
But monologue.
We had a cameo from the new cast members who came out like en masse. And
yeah, I gotta see how.
Keep it moving.
Yes, and they just tell me, yeah, just tell them to beat it immediately. I gotta see how mm-hmm. tall Ben Marshall is because, like, I know he's a tall guy, but mm-hmm. like on stage in a lot of these scenes he's in, he just seems like NBA tall. Like
we usually see him sitting down in Please Don't Destroy sketches because you know they open up in the office. And I'm sorry, I still can't quite think of Please Don't Destroy sketches as being a past tense thing. But but yes, R.I.P. he's a tall man. I am still working on telling Tommy Brennan and Jeremy Culhane apart.
Oh, I can sort of tell them. Like Jeremy seems a little bit more. Doughier? Is that the
oh part? Wow
okay. I don't know, he's more fuller faced is okay. that better
a rounder face a rounder face
yeah like I see people online compare him to Bobby Moynihan and I kind of see it but like I'm trying to be complimentary here like he's more
doughy is complimentary okay. Okay
I don't know what's the right word not slender but like round Der,
you know, I think just saying like a rounder face or something.
Rounder face. Yeah, all right, there.
let's not comment on people's weight.
Whew. All right. Wow. Okay, monologue.
Let's be better.
How would you say it? How would you say
it? I think fuller face or rounder
face. That's what I said, and you made me sound like a monster.
Well, you are.
Wow.
I mean, for a variety of reasons.
Okay, yes, but not for that reason.
Okay.
There you go. All right, that's all I'm saying.
I did like Poehler's line at the end. She says, like, oh, by the way, I am willing to do full frontal, but nobody's asked me.
Yeah. but monologue, I liked it. Enjoyable.
I mean, Poehler's always solid. She's a pro. She's going to come out. She's going to kill it. And yeah.
How
it was fun.
How can you hate Poehler? She's America's sweetheart.
She really is. She really is. Yeah. I also like the parallel she made where she was talking about how the show is 50 and Poehler's like somewhere in her 50s now. And she's like, you know, turning 50, you stop caring what people think. And this show stopped caring what people think a long time ago.
Yeah. So. but yeah, decent monologue written by Jimmy Fowley and Sierra O'Sullivan.
Well, a nice job they did of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go into our first sketch, The Rudemans, written by new writer Jack Bensinger and Martin Herlihy.
Hmm, okay. Martin Herlihy. Oh, that's a name I have not heard in a little while.
I haven't heard that name in 85 years.
Yeah. So we got Ashley Padilla bringing Andrew Dismukes home to meet her family. And she's like, hey, you know, before we go in, I better warn you about my family. And it's like, oh, here's the character trait they're going to have. And we get characters with a theme song. So
yeah, a sketch with a theme song. I feel like I haven't seen that in a minute.
Like literally a minute? I mean, because I feel like they do that a lot.
Not a minute. That's what the hip hoppers slang goes. Like,
right, you're right. Yeah,
but the theme song, it definitely reminded me of, like, you know, SNL sketches from the early aughts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Like, the early aughts and the 90s and the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes back to at least Mr. Short-Term Memory.
Okay, yeah, but I haven't seen a sketch with a theme song in the past 10 years.
Oh, I don't know if it's been that long. I don't know. I'm not nuts about. I feel like the theme song move is a little played out. You know,
it might be. Maybe I like it because it's more of a nostalgia thing for me.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do like the little line where, like you said, Padilla warns Dismukes, like, "Hey, I just want to let you know my family can be a little off-putting or a little cold." Mm-hmm. And then Dismukes says, "Hey, don't worry, parents love me. Don't worry, I've done this hundreds of times." And yeah. She's like, "Oh, she's like, wait, hundreds? What'd you?"
Yeah,
that was a funny line.
That was cute. And then she comes in. She meets the family. It's Amy. It's Bowen. It's Sarah. And we also have Mikey as, like, apparently an alcoholic brother.
Yeah. And like, basically, the thing is with them, they respond in like this sort of tone where I don't know how to exactly describe it, but like they kind of sound offended by everything. It's like a kind of a verbal trait that I've seen a few people have, but it's hard to sort of pinpoint what it is.
Okay, here's the thing that got me about the sketch. I didn't think they were really rude so much as just sarcastic. So,
yeah, but then how would you incorporate the word sarcastic into their last name? Because the sarcastic mans?
Sure. I mean, that's fine. That would be more accurate. Maybe they could just make a punchier theme song out of the Rudemans, but I was just like, you're not... I mean, you're kind of rude. It's in the general umbrella of rude, but it was... I don't know. I wasn't too nuts about this because I just thought, oh, we're doing a bunch of hacky lines ironically, and that doesn't really make it funny.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people online like kind of be kind of down on this one. I didn't mind it that much. I don't know, like, because like the way they're doing is like Dismukes would talk to Bowen and be like, hey, so I've heard you work at NASA, and Bowen would be like, by NASA you mean the National Air and Space Association? Then
what it stands for, but okay.
Is it not? I don't know what NASA stands for.
National Aeronautics and Space Administration, I believe.
Okay, all right, spaceman.
I think, and if I have that right, yeah, please, get on my case about it. Okay. So.
But yeah, like they, Dismuke says they basically talk like cashiers at Buffalo Exchange, where they're just like, they kind of sound like confused by what you're saying. And also like what you're saying is wrong, but they're just going to kind of let it go. I mean, what?
Like
a little of that. But I think I can, I mean, I can understand people not being on board with that, which is maybe why I think two things kind of save it. One thing is the sketch isn't that long, so they don't draw it out that much. And also the physical stuff at the end, because we get to the point where Sarah Sherman brings out some queso dip. She takes this crazy fall into the living room table and spills it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like pretty impressive. Kind of reminded me of like Matt Foley a little bit. And then Dismukes gets upset with all of them to the point where it's like, oh, what if I start talking like you? Like, hey man, what? Well, and then that we just and then we just have Mikey smash a beer bottle on his head. Dismukes takes and then Dismukes takes a pretty good fall over the table. I thought like that's I think
yeah
that's
I mean the physical comedy at the end that was that worked. I mean because physical comedy almost always works if you but as a sketch overall I was just very on it.
Yeah, so. I didn't mind this one. I didn't hate it as maybe some. As much as some people do.
I didn't hate it, but it's just kind of there, and it's not necessarily what you want to start the show off with. You want...
I get it. It's one of those things, because it's like one of those things where the sketch is surrounded around this character's traits, and the traits are in the person's name, like, you know, Debbie Downer, or like you said, Mr. Short-Term Memory, or even the way back to the Whiners.
It also felt kind of vaguely defined, because, like I said, they were more sarcastic than rude. So that bugged me. I was just very on the sketch.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I didn't hate it, but I don't love it enough to like super defend it
either.
Then we get a pre-tape. We get Non-Alcoholic Beer, written by Will Steven, Carl Tart, and Asha Ward.
Surprised that Des Meeks didn't have a hand in this.
I think he might have. Yeah. I feel like he did, but like I don't know what.
Let's say he did. Yeah. We'll just give Dismukes credit. Other writers in the sketch, send some of your residuals to Dismukes, please.
Get on it.
Just because we decreed it. Yes. And it come. This is like a pretty quick thing. It's just a minute 42. We got Dismukes explaining that there's non-alcoholic beer, but hey, with non-alcoholic beer, you can't get drunk, which is like half the point. So this is non-alcoholic beer. Which turns out to be 96% alcohol.
I did like, because in this scene, Dismukes is manning a grill, and he spills some of the beer on the grill, and it's like big flames pop up.
Right.
And I also
people
like,
are like, your breath smells like gasoline.
Damn, your breath smells like gasoline.
Yeah. And we see him going driving at the end, and Ben Marshall plays a cop who's like pulling him over, and he's like, hey, have you been drinking today? He's like, just my non-alcoholic beer, and he's got like piles of the cans in the back seat. This was cute, and it didn't overstay its welcome, which
I would agree. It got in, got out. It's funny. Your breath smelled like gasoline.
That's fantastic. He's drunk, arrested for drunk driving. Yay.
That's right. Drunk driving, always hilarious, always good for comedy.
That's right. And hey, speaking of doing things fast, our next sketch is the Psychic Talk Show.
Psychic Talk Show, written by Jimmy Fowley, Martin Herlihy, and Sierra O'Sullivan.
And this is focusing on Miss Lycus, the fast psychic. This is a character for Amy, where it's one of those shows where the psychic is doing the cold reading on the audience, and they're all trying to contact some loved person in the great beyond. And here she's just cutting to the chase, and she's telling everyone their relatives are dead.
Yes, she has a hard out at 7.
Yes,
so she has to get, which comes back to play at the end of the sketch, which I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing online people saying this. They base this character off of Sylvia Brown.
That name sounds familiar. I don't really keep up with the TV psychics, but okay.
She was like kind of a big deal. I mean, she's passed away, but she was kind of a big deal in the
90s. Oh, did she not see that coming?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. You crazy
it's funny because psychics aren't real.
No, you're crazy for that one, son.
Yeah.
You wildin', fam. Sylvia Brown. Yeah, she was like a kind of a big deal in the 90s. She was on Montel Williams a lot and on, I think, like Larry King Live.
Okay. All so, right. Yeah. So all the hard hitting news.
Yeah. You know, all the big time journalists.
Do not lie to me like I'm Montel Williams. I am not Montel Williams.
Oh, don't feel too bad, Montel. But yeah, yeah. So it's basically that, like, she has a guest, James Austin Johnson, is the person who wrote a book that he wants to talk about, and he's not sure how the show goes, and she says, I'll show you. And, like, basically everybody in the audience is asking about, like you said, like a loved one that is missing, and she says, oh, no, they died.
No, they're dead. They drowned.
They drowned till they died.
Yeah, and she's telling, like, pretty much everyone in the audience that, and then she's like, okay, now we're going to do a speed round. And James is like, that wasn't the speed round? And she's, and it's literally just panning across the audience, and she's like, dead, 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 drown, 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 marry, F, kill. It was cute. I liked Marcello popping up at the end as, like, a drowned person, and he's got, like, seaweed on him, and he's like, spits out water. That was funny.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the one at the end, Bowen is saying, oh, like, I asked you about my brother, and it's said that he was dead, and yes, they found him, and he's actually alive, he's right here, and he did drown. And then it turns out the brother is actually a huge fan of the author, James Austin Johnson, and he has a question for him. But, like, as he's talking mid-question, they just cut him off immediately, saying, it's 7 o'clock. Time to go.
This was all right. Again, wasn't wild about it. It's really tough to talk about these sketches that you didn't love, but you didn't hate. So,
right.
I just like this in fits and starts. So
yeah, like this one I liked. I mean, again, Amy is pretty much the one making this go.
Yeah, great character work by her.
Yes, character work by her. I feel like she's bringing kind of the best out of a lot of the cast members too in this sketch, because a lot of the cast members were able to be a little bit more funnier because she's kind of bringing her game.
I'm sure when somebody like Amy Poehler comes by, who's like a beloved former cast member, she ups everybody's game, I think. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean like
performance-wise, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did like the part where actually Padilla comes up and asks about her husband. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, yeah. She said, oh, your husband? Yeah, he's dead. And she's like, actually, no, he's not dead. He's actually right next to me.
Right.
And then she's then... Paula says, oh, no, by dead, I meant your marriage. Your marriage is dead. It's been dead for years. The two of you look like siblings. He's actually cheating on you with a woman that's more his height. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And Ben says, like, yes, actually, that does make sense. Thank you.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah, good stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Hunting Wives, Season 2, another pre-tape.
The Hunting Wives Season 2 trailer. So, yeah, apparently this is a real show with... Yeah. What's her face from the Pitch Perfect movies? Brittany Snow, and
it's like some
other actress I know whose name I didn't write down.
I know Malin.
Oh, Malin Ackerman. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
yeah, Malin Ackerman. I think Dermot Mulroney's in it,
or possibly Dylan McDermott.
There's no way to tell.
Or so, Dibble McDillet.
Dibble McDoubles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically...
Oh my god, I've been sleeping with another man's wife.
Oh, god! Oh, I'm... Only the true SNL nerds would get that reference. And so, if you got that reference and you're laughed as heartily as I did, congratulations, you're an SNL nerd.
Honorary SNL nerd.
Honorary SNL nerd.
Yeah.
Gold star, sir.
You can't co-host this show or anything unless something heinous happens to one of us. Absolutely. And even then, it's a long shot.
Right. But yeah, so here's the description of Hunting Wives for those that haven't seen it. It's on Netflix. Sophie, a wife and mother who moves from Massachusetts to the fictional East Texas town of Maplebrook with her husband, Graham, is drawn into the glamorous, dangerous world of a socialite named Margot and her elite clique, the Hunting Wives. As Sophie gets closer to Margot, she becomes entangled in a web of obsession, secrets, and ultimately murder.
Ooh.
So okay. It's like...
Honestly, from this parody, I was thinking it was like some sort of reality show, because that's what it seemed like.
No, it's a scripted drama.
Okay, all right.
It's the straight but lesbian horny Republican murder drama.
Okay, well, hey.
Thighs will be squeezed, guns will be drawn.
And we get an Aubrey Plaza cameo. So
yeah, how about that? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was neat to see her. I like...
Amy just brings her whole all her comedy wives to SNL whenever she comes by.
Yes, where's
Or when Aubrey Plaza hosts, she brings Amy Poehler with her. Yeah. They're just all joined at the hip, apparently.
Yeah, where's Rashida Jones, for Pete's sake? Come on out, Rashida.
Oh, that would be fun, yeah.
I don't think she's ever been on SNL, like, ever.
I feel like she's had a cameo, but I'd have to research that. I don't know. I can't recall off the top of my head. But she should at least host, right?
I'm actually kind of surprised she never did.
She would kick ass as a host. I would love to see that. I mean, I love me some Rashida Jones in general. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, I can't think of anything she's done that I've disliked. So,
she's good stuff, Rashida. Bubala, what's going on here? Why aren't you hosting?
Well, I mean, SNL. Come on, ask Rashida to host.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess. Yeah. SNL, get on that.
I mean, I think that's how it usually works. I think the show asks the people, "Hey, do you want to host?" And then they say yay or nay, and yeah.
Oh, the celebrity then just walk in through the front door and be like, "Hey, get Lauren on the horn. I want to host this bitch."
I feel like that's probably how The Rock does it.
I can see that.
He's like, the hierarchy of SNL is about to change.
Slowly takes off his sunglasses.
Yeah.
Where's Lauren? I want to host this bitch.
Gives us the people's eyebrow.
Yeah. He's slamming security guard against the floor or something.
He was like, Mr. Rock, sir.
Ow.
Mr. Johnson, whatever we call you now. I don't know. I can't keep track of your names.
You.
Yeah. You, the big guy.
Big fella. Whoa, easy fella.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy big fella. Sun's getting real low.
So,
Hunting Wise. Again,
another one I was just sort of so on. Mainly, I would say, because I'm not familiar with the thing they were parodying. So, okay, I feel like there was a certain ceiling to my enjoyment of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I got the basic beats of it. It's like some kind of trashy drama with guns and intrigue and
lesbianism. And lesbianism, but it's all sort of subtextual, or they're not really lesbians. Because, like, when Aubrey Plaza comes on, she's like, oh, no, actually, I'm a lesbian. And they're all like, and, you know, horrified.
I think that plays into the Republican part where they'll do that stuff, but no, they're just messing around.
Talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just messing around. They're not actually.
They're heterosexual lesbians.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how those people think. So I'm assuming it's something like that.
Yeah. But Frank, please pull that quote.
Oh boy.
it could come in handy later.
Yeah. Critics say, I haven't watched it, lies the Washington Post. And it's like if the L word took place in Yellowstone. This show has healed our nation, writes AI Scott, the new computer that writes reviews for the New York Times.
That's cute. That's cute.
Yeah. AI Scott. That was clever.
Yeah, it's play on AO Scott.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
Wordplay. We're doing it. Work, birth.
Work, birth.
This one's written by Jack Bensinger, Mike DiCenzo, Ali Levitan, and Ben Marshall.
Ooh, okay. We got Poehler. She's 9 months pregnant. Today is her due date. Mm-hmm. She's still at work. She refuses to take her maternity leave. She has like a birthing pool and her water breaks. And she's like having a work birth. Ben Marshall comes in as her doula.
Yes, Zach, he comes very highly respected in the Facebook marketplace.
Yes. Let's see. I think my autocorrect screwed up my notes a bit. I have dig water aura coming from your direction. I think it's bake water aura.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
yeah.
So it's like dog water aura, something like that. He mentioned dog water or something like that.
Oh, dog water. Okay. Well, yeah, my autocorrect turned it to dig. So I was like, what the hell does that mean?
Dig water.
So, yeah. Dig water. Okay.
I dig it.
And
then Mikey Day, as her husband shows up, takes off his shirt, gets in the pool with his wife. They simulate the motion of the tides, they rock the pool back and forth. Water splashes.
Ben's rocking the pool back and forth, right?
Yeah, water splashes on Sarah Sherman.
Of course, you know.
Of course.
Hey, we need to splash something. I'll do it.
I'll do it.
I get covered in goo or something. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Keenan pops in as a UPS man for no real reason. And then the Amy Poehler's character, the manager, gives birth to a full grown man in a suit. And we see Bowen Yang stand up completely bald.
And yeah, I did like that touch because it was a nice bizarre touch at the end of the sketch.
That was so bizarre. It felt like something out of like the State or UCB or something.
Yeah, yeah, it was this neat sort of surreal touch. Again, so on the sketch itself, didn't make me laugh too much, but by God, the cast were giving it their all.
They were, yes, I will give them that. I thought the sketch was okay, but like it's one of those sketches where you see the cast, you know, give it their all, and you see like they're having fun with it more than the sketch is actually funny.
Yeah, I don't feel like the audience was responding that much. I don't remember a great deal of laughter, so it was just
but
a little more weird for the sake of being weird. But I liked that it got really weird at the end with Bowen as a full grown baby.
Yeah, that was when that happened.
In a three piece suit. So
yeah, when that happened, I was like, "All right, we're in Silly Town now." Okay, here we go.
Yeah, we are, mm-hmm. And we're not leaving Silly Town for a while. We're like camping out at Silly Town.
Oh, we're gonna be deep in Silly Town.
We are deep in Silly Town. Oof. Yes, but first we got our musical guest. We got Role Model. I was not familiar with Role Model before this.
Me neither. Like
he's a young man. He does like the country music. He's got a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, kind of looks like a young Dane Cook. And he has,
I can see that. Yeah,
Dane Cookish. And he had two songs: "Sally When the Wine Runs Out,"
right,
and "Some Proctor."
Some Protector.
Some Protector.
Yeah. Some prospector. It's about a gold prospector. Yeah. Here's my gold.
Now you go on now. Get away from my gold mine.
Get away from my gold.
Name's Whiskey McChuggins. That's my gold. That's my gold mine there right there.
I liked when Amy introduced him. She was in a t-shirt of the original cast. I thought that was a really nice touch.
The OGs.
Just a nice little silent tribute to the folks who started it all. I thought that was great.
I was trying to look around and see where I could find that t-shirt for a minute. I was like, oh, that shirt's kind of cool.
It's got to be at the NBC store, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Guys, let us know.
Yeah, go check it out. Go to NBC.com and hit shop. I'm just guessing that would be the place to search.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as Role Model goes,
I did a little research on him. His birth name, Tucker Harrington Pillsbury.
Get the fuck out. What?
That's what Wikipedia tells me. Tucker Harrington Pillsbury. So when you poke him in the stomach, he just goes, hee.
That is like, that's the whitest name I've ever heard since.
It's aggressively white, right?
It's up there with Benedict Cumberbatch. It is.
It's like so white, it's almost a hate crime.
I'm surprised, like, the third isn't at the end of that name.
Yeah. They built a hayloft for him.
Yeah, for this song?
I mean, for both songs, because he's in the hayloft for both songs. But I'm just like, we built a, I don't know. I've said this before, but I think the productions for SNL musical guests is getting to be a bit much these days.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I blame Kanye, as I do for most things.
As you should. He is the one. I think we talked about this. Like,
yeah, they talked about it. I think on the music special that they did. You know, it was like Kanye did a big thing production wise for him, and then every musician who came in after that was like, "Well, you did it for Kanye." So yeah, now they do it for everybody.
See, you do it for one artist, now you got to do it for every artist.
Yeah, even though that guy's an insane douchebag.
Yeah, ooh, damn. Yeah. Oh, wait, you're talking about Role Model?
I'm talking about Kanye.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. So I'm just like, why are we all following the president of the insane douchebag?
Yeah,
so
let's not do that. Yeah. But yeah, Role Model's music's all right. It's like ineffective. It's like country pop. It sounds like music you'd hear at the mall. Honestly.
Yeah, like, yeah. The music you try to tune out at the moment.
Yeah.
I was just like, he's very mediocre. He's in his sparkly jeans. I actually wrote down in my notes, I miss Tom Petty. So that's what I started thinking about during the song. I was just like, I miss Tom Petty.
I think that every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, the big thing everybody's talking about, you know, since they're not really talking about the music, is when Charlie XCX came out and danced around during his first song, "Sally When the Wine Runs Out." Because as I found out, I've looked it up. Apparently,
this is like a thing. This is part of a thing of the song. Is he like gets somebody from the audience, or he gets like some sort of celebrity cameo to play Sally in the song?
Yeah, like it's something I didn't know, but like I think it kind of started when some like content creator did it, And so like it's become a thing now where like even in one performance, one of his performances, Bowen did it. I think.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
I think Natalie Portman did it. And
sure, why not?
I believe Al Roker did it once.
That I love. Okay, that's awesome. I feel robbed that we got Charlie XCX instead of Al Roker. He's in the building.
Yeah.
So
maybe it's past his bedtime or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, he's like, oh, it's a weekend. I don't want to come.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
I was kind of proud of myself that I did recognize Charlie XCX when she came out, even though she's like, you know, wearing sunglasses. I was like, oh, hey, that's Charlie XCX.
Yeah, there you go. Look at you. You're hip and young.
Like, I'm hip. I'm with it.
And I mean, the music nerd in me liked the fact that she was wearing a Max's Kansas City shirt. Like, for those that don't know, like, Max's Kansas City was this, like, you know, music venue in New York City in, like, the, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And it was, like, a big place to hang out. Like, I mean, most people know about CBGBs, but Max's Kansas City was also pretty big. Like, I think Debbie Harry worked there as a waitress before Blondie. Andy Warhol hung out there a lot of times. Bowie, Lou Reed, Peter O'Toole, I believe. It was, like, a cool... Peter O'Toole. Iggy Pop, you know, New York Dolls. Like, they all just performed and hung out at Max's Kansas City. It was a big deal.
I don't think I've heard of Max's Kansas City. I heard of CBGB's, of Studio 54. I have not heard about this other hip venue that was around when I was, like, in single digits.
Max's Kansas City is, like, almost the unsung, cool, hip, you know, venue.
Even hipper than those other two.
It is. So
you,
like,
haven't heard of it. Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, you can be like, next time at the next party, you can be like, oh, you got a CBGB's t-shirt? Oh, yeah, I guess they're okay. I got a Max's Kansas City t-shirt. I guess, you know. Guess you never heard of them. You know, they're, you know, kind of cool kids hang out with them. But, you know, you're good for you and your CBGB's t-shirt. But, you know.
That's nice. That's nice.
You got a Target or whatever. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah.
And, the second number, Sun Protector, he did another song. It's a different lighting scheme in the Hayloft. Now it looks like a night scene. I think there was rain outside for a bit.
Ooh,
I wrote down in my notes, he's okay, but who gives a fuck? I was not terribly impressed with the Role Model.
Yeah, just a big old bag of meh.
Yeah, it's very
fine.
Mediocre.
It's fine. It's inoffensive. It's
right.
It's wallpaper.
It's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay. Another great musician I don't entirely get, and I feel very old and close to death.
Wow.
So, you know, that's always nice to have an existential crisis in the middle of SNL, in the middle of my weekend comedy show.
Yeah. I couldn't enjoy this musical performance because the breath of the Grim Reaper was blowing down my neck.
Exactly. Exactly. So... weekend update?
Weekend update.
Michael Che and Colin Jost. I felt like mixing them up.
Wow. Yeah, you threw me off there, man.
I threw myself off because I was like, Michael Jost? That's not right.
Jekyll Most and Jekyll Che.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
I confused myself.
Yeah, we got jokes about the current dumpster fire that is our world. Israel and Hamas has agreed to a ceasefire, and Joseph's talking about how Trump has Freaky Friday'd Gaza and Chicago.
RFK Jr. talks about circumcised men are more likely to be autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this comes from the guy who looks like he's made entirely out of foreskin.
Yeah.
Oof.
And we hear Chaco, not mine.
Oh, shit.
Which is... That is funny.
Hashtag not my foreskin.
That sounds like a Lifetime movie. Not without my foreskin.
Give me back my foreskin!
Give me back my foreskin!
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
Starring Mel.
Oh, God. Wow.
What'd you think of that Biden joke they had early on where they were saying, like, Biden also negotiated a ceasefire in Gaza 9 months ago? Do you remember that? Neither does Biden. I was like... I felt that was very uncalled for, personally.
Yeah,
I'm really not trying to do a double standard here. Like, oh, you know, you can make fun of Trump, but you can't make fun of Biden. But I was just like, well, Biden's not even president anymore, so why are we taking a shot at him? It just seemed unnecessary.
Yeah, like it seems like we have so much more current fodder that we could be making fun of, to just to sort of make fun of a past president. And, especially
when it's like, oh, he's senile or he has dementia type joke. It's like, the other president's right there, guys.
Yeah. And it's a joke.
And it didn't get much of a laugh either.
Yeah, it really wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
It was a weak, it's like a joke they've told 100 times when he was president. It's like, oh, he's old and losing his marbles and he's crazy.
It felt like, oh, let's stick this in here so that to prove we're going after both sides. But when it's not even the current guy in the office, it's just like, okay, why?
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, I will admit the jokes in this Weekend Update weren't their best. I mean, the biggest deal they had was when Che made that AI video and he put Jost in the Epstein parties.
He's deep faked into the Trump and Epstein thing. And Jost, he always takes it so well. He's just like, oh, not nuts about that being out there. Because I mean, obviously he like shot some green screen footage for that. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yes. I mean, again, tip of the hat for Jost for being such a good sport.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got some death segments, too. We got a concerned New Yorker, Rhonda Licenzo. Yeah, oh, there's no H. Yeah. Licenzo on Mr. Zoran Mamdani, who looks like he might be the next president of New York. And
You say president of New York?
What?
Yeah, I think he's the president of New York instead of mayor of New York.
Mayor, that's the thing. Yeah, that
that's
are.
The word. That's the word the you're word. Looking for, sir.
That's how word works. It looks like he'll be the next mayor of New York.
He's like the president, but for a city.
Yeah. And a certain sect of people aren't too wild about him being the next mayor, which I have heard a lot of, you know, people on the right and most of Long Island. Also,
a lot of establishment Democrats, I guess we're seeing more of this because we're in the northeast of the country, so we get like a lot of spillage news from New York City. So you know we're seeing like targeted ads and stuff like that. So if you're like up in Minnesota, hi Scott, you might not be hearing about this quite as much, but
right,
yeah,
absolutely. So Sarah Sherman comes out playing a stereotypical Long Island, you know her people because she's from Long Island.
Yeah, and, she calls him a hipster jihadist.
Yeah.
Talks about how she voted for Cuomo in the primary 48 times.
Yeah. Talk about free buses, rent free. I heard he's going to enact Sharia law. And like, I know Sharia. She does my nails. She can't be doing no Sharia law.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she says he's an ISIS-trained millennial Nepo baby from Uganda. So just kind of. Just spoofing how, like, all these absurd lies spread about candidates so quickly, especially if they're candidates who aren't, like, old establishment white men. We're so messed up.
Beyond messed up.
Yeah, and then she talks about, you know, she had a sex dream about him. And
she wrote a screenplay about it.
She wrote a screenplay out of it, and then... She says, like, oh, I'm not Islamophobic. I'm just scared of all Muslim people. You know, good character work from Sarah. I liked, you know, Che was playing off her well, where he's the reasonable straight man. He's sort of countering, like, oh, well, no, all these absurd things you're saying are not true. And yeah, it was pretty good. I certainly like this more than the next death segment. So.
I see that. But yeah, I thought this was okay. I mean,
yeah,
this is a character I'm sure Sarah has maybe kind of known growing up in Long Island, or maybe beat her family. I don't know.
So sure.
She has a good idea of how to play it. You know, she knows when to ham it up and whatnot.
Good voice work. She got in a shot at Joe's too, which is impressive.
Yes.
You know, she can't sit behind the Weekend Update desk without getting a jab in at Jost.
No, gotta get a Jost jab.
Yeah. Jost jab. Hashtag Jost jab.
Yeah. So, although I didn't mind this, I feel like it maybe went on a little too long, but not too much.
Okay.
Okay, and so next up, let's talk about the segment you hated. Grant and Alyssa talk about cuffing season.
Yeah, which is, you know, cuffing season, that's like sort of, it comes around in October, and then the thing is, you can't really dump someone during the holidays. So if you get involved with someone late in the year, like in October, you're basically with them through at least Valentine's Day. You can't dump them until like late February or March.
Yeah, so it's like somebody to hibernate with, kind of.
Yeah, someone to spend the holidays with.
It's like squirrels gather nuts for the winter.
Right.
Women gather.
No, continue with this metaphor.
When women gather nuts for the. You know what? Let's.
There you go.
Let's continue. I'm sorry.
So we got Grant and Alyssa. It's Marcello and Jane Wickline as Grant and Alyssa, the couple you can't believe are together. And the joke is, they have nothing really in common because she's like this quiet, introverted, intellectual type, and he's this hockey jersey wearing bro type.
Yeah, I noticed Marcello wasn't as loud as he usually is in these. which, okay. No, I feel like it works. I feel like it's better when he's loud. He was still loudish, but he wasn't like he wasn't dialed up to a 10 like he normally is. This was like he's more of a 7.
Yeah. I was just like, was anyone clamoring for these characters to come back?
I feel like they were. Like they liked them
because of the Marcello thing.
I think so, and and also the fact that he's loud and she's quiet, they play off each other well. The juxtaposition of that is funny, but yeah, this one definitely wasn't as strong as the ones before it. There were a few good jokes I liked here and there, where they talk about apple picking, and Grant tells Alyssa, "Say, hey, tell Coach that Joe's that funny thing you said when we went apple picking, baby. Tell him," and she said, "I said, please calm down." Because he's always screamy, John.
I didn't like it that much the first time around, so I wasn't really thrilled to see these characters back. I don't know. I'm not too nuts about Marcello. I just don't think he has a very wide range. I think he's developing some lazy habits on the show because he's been kind of rewarded for the really broad stuff he's done. So I don't know.
I know he hasn't been on the show that long, but he's been on, I feel like, long enough that he should be starting to try to branch out a little bit more and do different things. Or maybe he is, and he's just not getting that stuff on. I don't know.
From where I'm sitting, it just feels like he doesn't have that wide of a range. I get very tired of cast members when it's just I'm seeing the same stuff over and over and over from them. Keenan, excuse me.
Oh boy.
Fighting off a cold.
Okay. Sorry. I feel like around the time where, like, if Marcello wants to get out of that sort of stereotypical hole that people kind of keep on placing him in, he needs to do it like now.
Yeah.
Or else he's just going to be the loud, screamy Latino guy.
Yeah, I don't like seeing any cast members get pigeonholed. I want every cast member to have a broad range and do like a variety of characters, and like we can hit on this more later in the show, but I feel like Ashley Padilla, we're only two episodes in, she's freaking killing it, and Woo! She feels like she's been on the show for years in a good way, because she's got a wide range and she can do like most anything you ask of her. She can play the straight person in a sketch. She can play the goofy one in a sketch. And I look forward to seeing her for years to come. Can't really say that about Marcello right now.
Yeah. I mean, Ashley's, which is way more versatile. But then again, like there have been some past cast members that can do one thing really well and excel. Mm-hmm. Like, you could say Adam Sandler was kind of like that in his heyday. Maybe, I don't know who else. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Sherry O'Terry. I don't know. I was trying to think of people who are just kind of a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I go more for the utility players than the specialists.
No, for sure.
So, I don't know. That's me.
No, I get it. I hear you, baby. So hopefully this is the year we get to see Marcello spread his wings and fly. But I don't know. These Grant and Alyssa, they were cool at first, but like, I don't know. Were they? There were a couple I kind of liked. I thought they were pretty funny.
Okay.
But I will admit this one isn't that great.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, oh my God, Amy Poehler pops up after.
What?
Yeah.
A beloved former Weekend Update host cameoing during Weekend Update? This is unprecedented.
Right, because at this point, Colin Jost tells another news report saying how a woman gave birth to a 13-pound baby.
Yeah, a woman in Tennessee. It's a record setting. Yeah.
Yes, and it was the first baby ever to bust out saying, oh yeah!
Yeah. And then, not a bad joke. Decent joke.
Not bad. And then
Amy Poehler comes out and she's like, is that the best you can do? And
I did like how when she comes out, the audience is cheer and she says, guys, I've been here all night. You don't have to cheer. You've seen me.
Yeah, exactly. Let's keep it moving, people, please. Yeah. I did the monologue, all right?
I did the monologue, the cold open.
I've had three sketches built around me. I don't need another applause break.
Yeah, come on.
I'm Amy fucking Poehler, okay? Yeah. Get over it. So they declare a Weekend Update joke-off. So, of course, she brings her first wife and her second wife, Tina Fey and Seth Meyers. Again, people who are in the building. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tina Fey isn't normally in the building, but Seth Meyers is. He's just down the hall. Yeah,
exactly. And then we get a good old-fashioned joke-off.
We do. We've done the Weekend Update joke-offs at least... I want to say like two times before, maybe.
I didn't
look up how often they've done this, but yeah. Let me see if I can find that real fast.
Okay, but yeah, it's been a while. Yes, some good jokes, like, you know, woman gives birth to a 13-pound baby. The baby was so big, he slapped the doctor on his ass. Woman gives birth to a 13-pound baby. As soon as the baby was out, the woman zipped around the room like a deflated balloon.
I liked when they said... The woman gave birth to a 13-pound baby in Tennessee, and because it's Tennessee, the baby was also pregnant.
Bam!
And then Amy's closer, the woman set a record. Record was for loosest vagina and was previously held by me.
Wow. So, there's an image.
Yeah.
There's an image. Congratulations
to Will Arnett, I guess.
Ooh. Michael.
Michael.
It's an illusion, Michael.
And we just see them all buddy, and yeah, it's a big love fest. So many blue blazers. We got like five people in blue blazers all at once. It's like, wow, okay.
What, in blue blazers?
Yeah.
Weekend Update, strong ending, but the rest of it was so-so.
Yeah. Weekend Update. I enjoyed the joke off. I'm not made of stone, people.
Yeah, come on, we're flesh and blood, like it's any fun. Other man,
you know. I like them hitting the button and making a new beep 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 sound each time. That's fun.
Boy yo yoing. Absolutely.
Yeah
Okay, John, it's that time.
Buzzer sound
John, it's that time.
It's that time.
It's time to talk about.
I mean, look, We've had a lot of so-so reactions to the sketches.
Yeah, we've had a lot of laughs here, people.
Is this show beyond saving? Is it just going to be sort of a plain, mediocre show? Are we going to have a sketch that fucking hits it out of the park?
Experience.
We're gonna have a sketch that hits it out of the park. It's
Experienced Lawyers, written by...
Experienced Lawyers. Yeah,
Andrew Dismukes, Martin Hurley.
Knew it. Yeah.
James Austin Johnson.
Knew it.
New writer, Maddie Wiener.
Maddie Wiener, you are, I mean, wow. What a way to start your SNL tenure. This was highlight of the night, sketch of the week.
Sketch of the night, and it's a front runner for sketch of the season. I'm saying it right now.
This is one that I feel like I would be very surprised if there was a sketch I like better than this in this season. This was... instant classic in my mind. This instantly went into my best of season 51 playlist, which I try to keep up with
for sure
in the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was okay. So we start out, we got Dismukes and James Austin Johnson. Already I'm loving it. I love it when these two weirdos pair up together because they just get absolutely unhinged together and I am here for it.
Mm.
They're two lawyers named Bilson and Lieberman. They have combined 50 years of legal experience and they're just, you know, pitching why they're the guys to call when you have an accident or whatever. Then Amy Poehler bursts through the wall. She is another lawyer, Lachlan Mulchberger. Love the name. Love the name. She's got like a curly gray wig. She's got beefy, hairy arms. She's like bursting through the wall like a Kool-Aid man. I am here for it.
She's still wearing nail polish, though.
Is she really? I didn't notice that.
If you go back and watch it again. If you go back and watch the video, she's dressed like a man, big Popeye arms, bright red nail polish.
Look, hey, that's their journey. Look, you know,
nothing wrong with it, man. I dig it.
Nothing wrong with it. We have heterosexual male friends who wear nail polish just because they like feeling pretty.
Yeah, do you, Mulchburger?
So, yeah, yeah. And Mulchburger says, like, I have 50 years of legal experience all by myself. And then later she upgrades it to like 75 years of legal experience. She got 25 more years of legal experience just in the time since they started the commercial.
Damn it.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
Mulchburger says, like, I'm the lawyer for you, but not so fast, because Camera pans over to the Drabble sisters. Yeah, we see Veronica, Padilla, and Chloe as three old ladies, all in walkers, all sisters, that combined have 240 years of legal experience.
Yes. Yes. And then we go back to Bilson and Lieberman. They say, not so fast. We've cloned ourselves. We're now Bilson, 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 and Lieberman, 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 Lieberman. They each have four clones. And they have 300 years of legal experience.
I love it when Dismick says, clones, activate! And then they all start talking in unison.
This is like unhinged in the best, like, this is like, not since like The Falconer have we seen something this wonderfully insane on SNL. Love it. Love it.
But not so fast, because Lachlan Mulchburger just merged with Turtle Taub and Shelby, tortoises at law. And they wheel out two actual tortoises with little tiny neckties and briefcases.
Great touch.
And they have over 400 years of combined little experience. One of them was even on the Mayflower.
Yes. And then we have Sarah as Dracula. Dracula.
Get up.
She's a stereotypical Bela Lugosi type vampire. And she's got a 400 years of legal experience. And she also, with her babies, has 400 years and 9 months of legal experience. And she's got like three babies strapped to her chest.
Yeah. And of course, this all culminates to Bowen as Yggdrasil the Evertree, wellspring of all
the
life.
The world tree from Norse mythology.
The world tree, yes.
Which I know from reading many a Thor comic back in the day.
Oh, wow.
And then Keenan as Zeus, and the sketch even uses Keenan well. You know, he's like, hey, you know, I was on Earth, and, you know, I was like, you know, transform myself into a swan, get my thing on like I do. This was great. I loved it. I mean, it's all I want in an SNL sketch. It gets weird and unhinged. It utilizes most everybody in the cast.
Right.
It escalates. It escalates so beautifully.
Mm.
And, you know, it's funny. You don't see, I mean, each escalation is surprising. Yeah. Sketch of the week, sketch of the month, very possibly sketch of the season. Calling it two shows in. Sketch of the season.
Sketch of the season. Bam! Boom! Yeah. Pow!
End it now.
It's over. You're not going to do any better.
It's over. And I had a feeling that you liked this one just as much as I did, because, like, you used this as a thumbnail on the Blue Sky profile. Yeah.
Yeah, and, no, this sketch was easily sketch of the night. And, of course, it ends with the jingle into Celino and Barnes tune, you know, Idrisil, injury attorney. Time is an illusion. We are shadows.
Yeah.
I mean, the sketch, I mean, like, I know we both don't like it when sketches are weird for weird's sake.
Yeah.
You know, like Adult Swim style. But this is weird, but it also has some logic to it, because the whole thing is, the whole game is the lawyers are trying to one-up each other about how much legal experience they have. So that way...
Right.
So as long as it has that, I was like, okay, so I can...
It's hanging on that thread. That's nice. Yeah, I don't like random weird. I don't know, just because it's so easy. And I like there to be an internal logic to a comedy sketch, even if it's an insane logic. And this has like the best kind of insane logic. Yeah, I think that was great.
Yeah, I mean, when the clones came out, I was like, oh, we're...
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, we're in insane, like, Monty Python territory now. So.
Bilson. Yeah. And Lieberman.
I mean, there's so much energy, and they're so sincere. I mean, it was great. I think James Olsen Johnson and Dismukes, they bring out the best of each other. And how refreshing was it that we didn't have James Olsen Johnson playing trumpet all this week? We didn't have him interrupting the cold open.
Yeah.
We just used, he got to play a variety of characters the way he should. And he's really strong in a sketch that's coming up. I think.
He's a good straight man. Of course, everybody knows him as the Trump guy, 'cause that's like the best weapon and best well-known weapon in his arsenal.
Right.
But like, I like it when we can see he can do other things, and he's a lot more versatile than people give him credit for.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to see any cast member get trapped into like one character. So,
absolutely.
This was my only criticism of the sketch is I thought it was deeper in the show than it should have been. But you know, maybe it's so out there. Maybe that's the earliest they could put it. But yeah, I'd love to see the show get this unhinged even more quickly.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it. People thought, this is really weird. We should put it in the second half. People,
it's got to go after update.
People ain't ready for this weirdness.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm ready.
It's got to be after 12:30. Like, so.
But I was ready. I was ready.
I am here for it. I just... Mm-hmm. It's...
Okay.
I kind of hope they don't do a sequel to this, because it would be really tough to top this.
Yeah, no, but, please. Like, SNL, if you're listening, and we know you are, don't... This is it. Just leave it here. One and done.
Don't give us a literal sequel. Don't give us another law firm sketch. But give us more sketches with Dismukes and James Olsen Johnson with this wonderful unhinged energy.
Yeah, don't.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, don't Washington dream this. Just make it. Yeah. Leave this as is, the perfect gem jewel that it is.
And, yes.
But just do other weird shit.
Exactly. That's what I want. A spiritual sequel. I don't want a literal sequel.
Thank you.
So.
Your friends at the SNL Nerds Podcast.
Yes. Just a little constructive criticism. We say this with love.
Yes. We say this because we care.
Mm-hmm. We care like Emo Mom.
Mm, written by Claire McFadden, Allie Levitan, and Will Steven.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got Amy Poehler as a mom. She's like a suburban mom. But, you know, not just like... She's like a cool mom, okay? she's an emo mom. And did you think that Amy Poehler looked a lot like Sharon Osbourne in this? Threw me a little bit.
I did see people say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she has like the, like Kate Gosling haircut, but like dyed black and pink, and it looked
right.
a little
yeah.
Sharon yeah. Osbourne-y.
I mean, the character wasn't Sharon Osbourne-y, but physically she looked kind of, Sharon Osbourne-y with the hair and all that.
Yeah.
So she's going through like a midlife crisis, and she's sort of, She's acting out like an emo teenager. That's the joke.
Yeah. So basically, like the father, James Olsen Johnson, and her kids, Chloe and Jeremy Culhane, are all wondering where mom is because she's out, and she comes home, like you said, dressed all almost like goth emo.
Yeah.
Type of like acting like a teenager. She's vaping.
Right. It's bubblegum mint, bitch.
Yeah.
And she's being real defiant. She's acting like a defiant teenager.
Yeah. Because, you know, and the daughter tries, Chloe tries to talk to her, like, I know your body's going through this change of perimenopause.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, I want to talk to you about my body.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I like this more in concept than in execution, I think.
Yeah, I would say that too.
You
know, I had a few funny lines, like when Amy was like, well, do you ever think, guys, I'm getting bullied at school? And then Jeremy Culhane is like, you're the superintendent. What are you talking about?
That was cute. Yeah.
I did like how she got a phone call from work and like she switched into her mom voice. Like,
she code switched instantly. Yes.
Yeah. And then when she gets off the phone, she's like, oh, work sucks. And then you die. And then she threw the phone out the window.
Yeah. And then her friends from school come by. And
usually they hang out at the playground and stare at anime on their phones.
Yes. Honestly, I think my favorite thing about this sketch was James Olsen Johnson just playing repressed suburban dad.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he's like made pasta with rice.
Yeah, his famous rice and spaghetti dish.
I'm like, and then you just see him like quietly eating out of the pan as the sketch goes on. And I just love that. I love just like minor support like that. And just that tickled me.
Yeah, he's doing like a lot of very subtle like stage work there that I feel like isn't getting the attention it should. Like,
it's not a flashy role. It's not supposed to be a flashy role, but I just enjoyed the touch of him. He's just got that giant pan of spaghetti and he's just sort of like quietly eating out of it during the sketch. That amused me.
Yeah, rice and spaghetti. Like,
it's a lot of starch.
It's some would say too much.
So much starch. Yeah.
All the starch.
It's all the starch. Oops, all starch.
Oops, all starch. Tony Starch.
Also, I enjoyed at the tail end of the sketch, we saw Cue Card Wally for a moment.
Hey, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show, Cue Card Wally.
Far out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this sketch was cute enough.
I think the performances were stronger than the writing.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
This was another sketch where, like, in other hands, it would have been pretty flat, but...
Amy's given it her all. I mean, we don't usually have the host carry as many sketches as Amy Poehler did tonight, but they knew that she was up to it. So she is the center of pretty much every sketch she is in.
Yes.
Except maybe experienced lawyers.
That was
an ensemble piece.
Yes. Yes. Ensemble for sure.
Ensemble.
Ensemble.
Yeah. And I'm not saying there's any connection between her not carrying the sketch and that being the best sketch of the night. I think that was just the best sketch of the night because the writing was wonderful and the performances were great and it was great and unpredictable and so much fun.
Yes.
And I just want to talk about experienced lawyers for another half hour. I won't. I mean, we've got the show to finish, but
yeah, but maybe we'll do a bonus episode where we just talk about experienced lawyers, guys.
Maybe
put it on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Final sketch of the night. Let's go to Theme Song Masterclass, written by Rachel Pegram, Moss Perricone, and Carl Tart.
I don't think I know any of them.
Carl Tart, he's been on the show for a bit. Rachel Pegram.
Name's not ringing a bell. I'm bad with names, though.
Oh,
so.
Boy. Rachel Pegram is new. That's one of the new writers.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, we got Amy and Bowen. They're two theme songwriters of TV shows, and they wrote the opening theme song of Severance. It's kind of like every opening song to a TV show these days is a creepy, moody instrumental.
Yeah, I blame Lost for that, for sure.
Yeah, I blame Lost and just the fact that ads are so long on TV shows now. You don't have time for like a full length minute and a half theme song that explains the premise of the show. So yeah, we just have like a brief thing that sort of sets a mood. So
yeah, good point. I didn't think of that. We have, like I said, it's Amy and Bowen. They're at Juilliard giving a
masterclass
in front of the students, talking about their process of writing theme songs, and they talk about, like I said, Severance was the first draft, was like, you know, that was the end product, but then they did a first draft, and they sing the first draft of Severance, which is like a 90s style hip-hop rap, you know, like they even say later on in the sketch, it sounds like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, why do these all sound like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Because it's like, it's a thing that explains the premise, which used to be like the standard thing.
Exactly. And then they say Severance. They chop your brain in half. One half for work and one half for sex.
And they're like, that's not what the show's about. But this I think I appreciate a little more because I've watched Severance. I've watched The Pit. So I know the shows that they are referencing. It's not like the Hunting Wives where I'm like, what? What is this? Yeah. Is this a real thing they're parodying? I don't know. So yeah, I appreciated it a bit more. I liked how everybody mad at Jane Wickline's student for no reason.
Oh, yeah. They had like that little running gag where for some reason Jane Wickline would ask a question and Bowen would immediately want to use corporal punishment on her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, please let me put belt to ass on this one.
Yeah. And towards the end, we have Keenan as the character we've seen 1 million times before.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he just comes out with the keytar. They really didn't need it.
I'm the Keenan character.
I'm wacky.
I'm wacky. Because this sketch needs a little bit more bizarre energy, and I'm Keenan doing my Keenan thing. Okay.
Yeah. I've seen it.
What else you got?
I mean, I like Keenan, but yeah, like some in sketches like this, he didn't really seem necessary. He didn't add too much to it. So it was weird to kind of see him pop in.
You know, 22 years, we've seen everything in his bag of tricks.
Yeah.
I don't have it in me to get excited about Keenan anymore. I just don't.
Oh, dear.
I mean, every once in a while, it's just like, yeah, he did a nice job in that. And then a lot of sketches, I'm just like, ugh, okay, he's coasting.
Oh, boy. So theme song masterclass. Okay. Not bad.
Okay. Real come down after Experienced Lawyers. But
yeah, like, I feel like, Experienced Lawyers was like, how is any other sketch going to follow that? That's like,
if that had been the last sketch of the night, I would have overall felt much better about the show.
Yeah.
Because it would have ended on a high note. But it's, as it was, it's just this jewel that's in the middle of a so-so show.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that sketch was so good, it kind of doomed all the other sketches after. Yeah. It's like when a comedian goes on and kills, and like another comic has to go follow him. Yeah. It's like, I can't go after that. That was Chris Rock. I can't go after him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but theme song masterclass. It's okay. And then we then we got a title card.
We got Amy in an old fashioned title card, like what we had in the first season of SNL, which was a nice touch, where it was like black and white photo. It's been airbrushed. She's sitting in a taxi cab. She's eating a slice of pizza, and apparently that was playing off of a shot in the original opening sequence where there's a guy sitting in a taxi cab, but he's eating some water.
Yes, I noticed that. I also liked, because in the corner you said it says NBC Saturday Night, not
exactly. Yeah.
So I was like, I see what you did there, SNL.
That was a very nice tribute for the actual 50th anniversary show.
Yes.
So that was nice. That was perfect. That was lovely. And then we also had a tribute title card for Diane Keaton, who we lost yesterday.
Yeah.
Not yesterday, but it was the day of the show.
Yeah. Yes. You know, Diane Keaton, I mean, what, acting legend, The Godfather.
She's in the Godfather movies. She's in all the classic Woody Allen movies. Annie Hall. She won an Oscar for Annie Hall, I believe. Father of the Bride. First Wives Club. Something's Gotta Give. I mean, just, she had like hits in every decade. She was great in comedy. She was great in dramas.
Yeah.
Who didn't like Diane Keaton?
She was fantastic. Yeah, actually, she also has a bit of an SNL connection, even though she never hosted or appeared on SNL.
Yeah, I was surprised to see this. You shared this on the Blue Sky profile.
Yeah, yeah. But SNL featured player Ashley Padilla, actually, before she was on SNL, she actually was Diane Keaton's assistant for a while.
And like recently, like as recently as 2024.
Yeah. So. Because in the 2024 movie Summer Camp that stars Diane Keaton, Kathy Bates, Alfre Woodard, and Padilla is in it. And she was her assistant on that film. And like, if you go on Ashley Padilla's Instagram, she puts up all these lovely pictures she has of her and Diane Keaton and how much she meant to her. It's very heartfelt, very lovely.
And, you know, actually, I did this. And I realized, like, I hadn't been following Ashley Padilla on Instagram. That was an unfortunate oversight. I don't know how I missed that, but
need to correct that.
I did. I followed her instantly. I was like, holy shit, I'm not following Ashley Padilla. And she's, like, swiftly becoming one of my favorite people on SNL. So, yeah, you goddamn right I hit that follow button.
Absolutely. And, Keaton even credited Padilla for helping her create the book Fashion First, which came out last year. So I mean, the two of them had a really strong bond, a really strong friendship there. So
that's awesome. And you know, our condolences to Ashley for the loss of your friend and mentor. So.
Yeah. And then that's the episode. But let's go on to the Blue Skies. Let's see what our friends and family and fans say about this episode. We got a good friend Nick Storr saying, definitely a step up from last week. Felt like an episode from the Polar Era. Enjoyed the attorney sketch. Laughed at the stupid Colin AI joke. Today marked the start of the Ashley Padilla takeover of SNL. So glad to see her and JAJ, not you, Dad, all over the app.
Okay, so our friend Lahi Lion says, there was a lot less cameos than I thought there would be, which is a good thing. I feel like this was a healthy, balanced episode. We saw just about every cast member. Most of the new people spoke at least twice, and it was funny. All in all, great episode. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. The last couple of folks are a little more positive on the episode overall. I thought it was, I think without that experienced lawyers sketch, I would feel kind of disappointed with this episode. What about you?
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Stephen M saying, at first not loving it, and it grew on me to B minus. Did enjoy the lawyer commercial. Weekend update bit is a bit tired for reunions. Mm. More fun for audience, I think. Hunting Wives, funny too.
Yeah, I think, yeah, when you get the old Weekend Update anchors, yeah, the audience is always reliably going to go nuts because you love seeing your old friends. But, yeah, they have gone to that well a lot, so.
Little bit, yeah.
And it's also, like, everybody in late night gets along so well now. I want a good late night feud again, just for old time's sake. I want to see, like, some SNL cast members who just absolutely fucking hate each other or other late night hosts like deciding that, no, we don't like Jimmy Fallon anymore because he's a fucking tool.
Yeah, where's the vitriol,
I want to see some of that old Letterman Leno energy. I want to see that again.
Yeah, let's get some fights. Let's do some backstabbing. Yeah. Let's call somebody's names to their face. Punch, slap. Yeah,
people are too...
Knees to the groin.
I was about to say people are too civil, but people in late night are too civil. They get along too well.
Yeah.
Everybody else in the world, no, they are fighting all the time. So.
Yeah, no. The real world, everybody's insane. Yeah. Late night, civility reigns supreme.
I mean, it was refreshing at first, like seeing everybody, but now it's like not really a special thing when you see somebody on one of the other shows. You see like Kimmel on Colbert and Colbert on Kimmel on the same night, and then. Yeah, like Seth Meyers' brother appears on Kimmel all the time, and it's so civilized and civil. It's just, I'm kind of tired of it.
Gross.
Yeah,
yeah. It's all gentrified. What is this? I want the gritty old New York back.
I want Bill Murray and Chevy Chase getting into fights 5 minutes before air. Calling the cast member medium talent.
Yes. Come on.
I want some of that energy, just for variety's sake.
I want bitter, angry, coked up men screaming at each other.
That's all I want. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I was at that party, motherfucker wouldn't talk to me. What the fuck is that about?
Come on.
Come on.
Okay.
I got a great idea for a pilot.
I got so many great ideas. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Let's open a disco.
Let's open a disco. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Arr, you want to fight? Let's fight.
What a grapple. Let's grapple. And that's our episode, guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, as always. Up next week, we got Sabrina Carpenter doing Double D
hosting and the musical guest. You know, she seems to be like one of those people who's like part of the SNL family now. Like, she came along, everybody thought they really liked her. She's super popular, and let's see what she does.
I'm interested in seeing this because it's a thing where, like, I'm not super familiar with her music, but I mean, I know she can. I've heard she can be funny, and she also has like a background in acting and in comedy. You know, Disney kid, Nickelodeon kid. You know, she was on that spinoff of Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah. So, like, she does have some acting chops. So. It could be a thing like with Ariana Grande where I watch it and I'm like pleasantly surprised. Where I'm like, oh, she's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to watching this and seeing what I discover.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting to know her a little better as a performer. You know, I've seen her guest on the show. I've seen her. She's had a part. Yeah, I remember she was in that Scooby-Doo sketch, the pre-tape that they did, where she played Daphne, and I was thinking, like, oh, she's a good Daphne.
Yes, the Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes, episode. That was it. Yeah, that's all right. He was Fred, and there was like, because it was a Sarah Sherman sketch, there was body horror.
Of course. Happy Halloween.
So, that'll be fun. I think I'm, you know, fingers crossed. That'll be a good one. So, hope springs eternal.
Hope springs eternal. And thanks again for listening. Guys, as always, you can follow us on the Blue Skies at SNL Nerds, mm-hmm. and you can donate to our Patreon at non-productive.com. Mm-hmm. Go give our YouTube page a follow. You can listen to this madness on the YouTube.
Yeah, at non-productive. That's a YouTube. There's a playlist of all of our old episodes. They are all up on there now. So if you're ever curious, you're like, hey, you know, the SNL, they just had their 50th episode. Have John and Darren ever talked about the first episode of SNL? Yes, we have. We did that for our 100th episode. We also covered the Saturday Night Movie that does the lead up to the first episode. There's all sorts of stuff. Just take a look. I mean, even if you hate SNL, you can find something we've talked about that you will be interested in, I think.
Absolutely. It's all there for you.
For you exclusively. For free. Out of the goodness of our hearts.
Free 99. All just waiting there for you, good gentlemen and ladies. Yes.
Both of you, and they's and them's.
and as always, you can follow me on all the social medias at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N.
And you can follow me on all the social medias, well, several of the social medias, at Trumbull Comic, T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L. So, yeah.
And the word comic.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was so focused on spelling my name, I forgot the word comic. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Darren. I'm sleep deprived.
Let's get you to bed, sir. Let's get you to bed.
It is 10:20 at night as we are recording this. It's too late for my ass.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right, so yeah, so let's... good night, Moon.
Good night, Moon. Good night, Darren. Good night, SNL. Good night to all. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week with Sabrina Carpenter. But until then... Nerds out!
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.